Welcome back to Stationary and Sassy, Fast and Furious Trans Rights Podcast. I'm your host, Fable.
And I'm your other host, Jamie.
How's it going, Jamie?
I'm so excited to be talking about Fast and Furious. It's been like a while.
It has been, because we haven't had an occasion to talk about Fast and Furious, but we watched Fast X. And we'll start, as we always do, with me asking you, what was your top line takeaway from this movie?
I'm so emotional about this movie, Fable.
My basic note is they made a perfect Fast and Furious movie.
I took notes when I was watching it the second time, and my notes devolve around three quarters of the way through. Because after the scene where Roman and Tej, like, hugged each other and told each other that they loved each other, I was just, like, an emotional mess. I was like, look at these badass masculine dudes telling each other about their feelings. And, like, they picked the two people that always act like they don't even like each other, but they love each other and they're gonna talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, this movie has so many moments that are, like, we've had these character arcs that have now existed for, you know, a dozen movies and multiple decades. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, obviously this movie is part one of two. I feel like they were like, we just gotta go as hard as physically possible in this movie. And I think, like, one thing I really actually wanted to talk to you about is I think, unlike every other Fast and Furious movie, I actually believe that the villain in this movie is capable of doing damage to the family, right?
Yeah.
And we've just never had a movie, a Fast and Furious movie, with what feel like such real stakes, right? And, you know, from beginning to end, Jason Momoa's character, Dante,
I love him.
Oh, I have... we're going to get to it, trust me. Just is, like, wrecking the family, right? And I think it feels to me like that is it's a brave choice, but also it really works, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that makes him feel, like, so capable and, like, kind of scary in that way is that, like, everything he does, like, just feels so flippant. Like, he's doing all this damage in such a, like, flippant way.
So my note was brave of them to cast a bisexual villain.
I was like, Dante is my gay BFF.
I mean, he is so, like...
Are you, like, he would go out with us to, like, the club.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go to clubs, I'm a lesbian, but, like, yes. I mean, just, like, that scene where he's, like, you know, in the bathrobe with his, like, hair up and, like, he's painting the nails of the corpses of the guys he's murdered. I was just like, holy shit, the writing job on this villain and, like, the depth of the character, I think is, like, I feel like in every other Fast and Furious movie we've had up until this point, maybe with the exception of Tokyo Drift, we haven't spent time getting to know the villains in the same way that we do in this movie.
I find that the villains are often, like, not as memorable as I want them to be. And the ones that are memorable are the ones that, like, are friends now.
Right. Exactly.
I like Deckard Shaw, but I don't think that he really counts anymore. So,
yeah. You know, I think we establish him really early. And, like, we actually spent time with Jason Momoa as a character outside of his interactions with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really seen... Sorry, I'm, like, very on my, like, movie analysis.
No, it's okay. Today. I have some opinions too, so...
Yeah, please tell me. Like, I'd love to hear from you.
A scene that was really interesting to me, because, like, obviously Dante is crazy and, like, evil and, like, a great villain. But, like, there was a scene with him and Dom where I was like, oh, Dom's being a huge asshole, actually. And it was the scene where he was, like, Dante was kind of doing his, like, villain speech that villains do, where he's like, mm-hmm. you know, you took everything from me and all this stuff. And then Dom gets, like, real cold and is like, you've got nothing, you've got no family, you've got no... And as he was saying all that stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's what he just said too. Like, you agree on the fact that he has nothing and his life is fucked up. He's just saying that it's your fault and you're like rubbing it in his face like a huge asshole.
Like, yeah.
And I had this moment where I was like, I kind of get it.
Yeah. I love Dante in this movie so much. I think it adds so much depth and dimension to it. And like, as I said, like, I feel like this Fast and Furious movie is so much better than, for example, Fast and Furious 7, which I think, as we all know, is one of my loves because of the depth and complexity of, mm-hmm. of the relationship there.
Totally. I think it was such a love letter to, like, all of the Fast and Furious movies. Like, towards the beginning, I was doing, like, when he was like, oh, I'm gonna drive the car out the plane.
Yeah.
My first reaction was like, haven't we already done drive the car out the plane? Like, and then I realized, I'm like, oh, we've already done all of these. And that's what's cool about it.
Yeah, this movie is full of little references to all the other movies. We mm-hmm. meet characters we've met from earlier movies. We, like, at one point, Dom says to Han, Los Bandoleros for life.
Yes, I was like, he said the thing!
Yeah, you know, and like, you know, we obviously get into the whole nobody organization.
Yeah, the fact that they call him Little Nobody, I think, is very funny and cute.
Yeah, we hang out with Mama Shaw for a bit. Obviously, and at some point we need to talk about this properly, but there's the John Cena and Lil B road trip sub-movie.
I fucking love John Cena so much. He's so fucking likable.
Yes. Yeah, and the like sub road trip movie that they embedded in this movie is incredible.
Can we talk about Dom's family? And when I say Dom's family here, what I mean is, like, Dom's actual, like, family from that his mom.
Yes.
Because, like, they're acting like a lot of people are related. Like, first of all, why does Vin Diesel think that his child would be black?
Isn't that because the Brazilian cop lady was mixed race?
And then, like, John Cena shows up, and I'm like, this is the brother of Dom and Mia, like... It just became so obvious to me, which is, like, funny, but it's not actually really a complaint, because, like, actually, I think, like, the stuff with Little B, I thought was really cool that they're, like... have this non-traditional family structure that, like, nobody acts is, like, weird, and, like, he calls Letty mom, but then Dom goes and hangs out with, like, his biological aunt, and I'm like, this is cool, like, nobody is acting like this is, like, a shitty thing. It's all, like, a good thing to have, like, more, like, family love in your life, which is, like, so much better than other action movies are, like, trying to say about anything.
Yeah. Okay, while we're talking about this, a thing that kind of irks me about this movie is, like, you know, we get a decent chunk of time with Mia, and, you know, we're all still pretending Brian is alive, and it just, this is a thing where I was like, isn't Mia supposed to be, like, off with Brian in the Dominican Republic, like, defending that child forever or whatever? Like, it just feels a little inconsistent, and I get that they're just trying to shoehorn, you know, everyone we've ever seen in.
I think they're probably starting to realize that pretending that Brian was still alive was, like, not probably the right choice.
Yeah, I kind of hope we get substantially less of that in the actual, you know, final finale mm-hmm. movie. Which also, can we just talk about how this movie ends on just like...
Yes, yes.
The most beautiful cliffhanger.
I have a lot of opinions.
I've ever seen.
Can we actually start before the movie came out with this discussion? Because like 10 days before this movie came out in theaters, they announced like, actually, The Rock is going to be in it. And I was like, what? How? We did a whole episode about how The Rock wasn't going to be in it. And now it's like 10 days before and there's no way that you rewrote the movie because of like these negotiations. So like, A, it makes more sense that it was only in the cliffhanger and they were like trying to get the negotiations like... locked down for the next movie, but also the feud must be fake. Like, I really think it must just be like a promo stunt now.
I take a less extreme position than that. I think the feud is real, but The Rock decided he wanted to do the fan service.
I hope the entire next movie is just the plot of the movie we just watched, but with Pabs and Samantha instead of Dom and Lily.
No. So, sorry, when I meant the cliffhanger, I meant the ending.
Oh, I'm talking about The Rock.
Yes, I get that. So I guess maybe we should explain this to people who haven't watched the movie. Although, if you're
I love the idea that there are people that haven't watched the movie listening to our podcast about it.
So, you know, at the end of the movie, we have the after credit scene where, like, there's a bunch of SWAT guys walking around the room and, like, Dante is, like, teasing them on a cell phone or whatever, and then The Rock finds it and is like, I'm gonna get this some bitch.
So, and then he crushes the phone in his face for some reason. I love him so much.
Yeah, I think having The Rock back for the next movie is going to be great. But I wanna talk about the actual ending of this movie. So throughout the movie, there's like Little Nobody is like allegedly helping the, well, first he's trying to chase them down, then he's helping them out, but then at the ending we get the quote unquote twist reveal, which I saw coming from the first scene. He's actually a bad guy and he shoots down most of the crew apart from Dom, and you know, Dom drives his car off a dam because Jason Momoa is going to kill him and Little B, and then Jason Moore blows up the dam and unleashes all the water, and that's where we cut to black. And I'm like, Jamie, I think the next movie is gonna open like somewhere completely different, and we're not gonna get a resolution of that for a good like 20-30 minutes.
I can see that. Yeah, we're gonna see what Hobbs and Samantha are doing.
No, my prediction actually is we open to Mama Shaw and someone in London.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Or here's the real fan theory. It's Mama Shaw and Mr. Nobody somewhere in Europe.
That would be so good.
Yeah.
There was not enough Shaw in this for me. Although the scene with Deckard and Han was very, very good for a few reasons. Like, I was thinking about it earlier when you were talking about, like, everyone kind of being their, like, very true selves. And I was thinking about Han being like, dude, you spilled my snacks. but also the fact that, like, Deckard, as soon as he was like, oh, my mom is, like, wrapped up in this, is like, okay, well, I got everything ready. See you there. I just love him so much.
Yeah.
I think that they're gonna, Dom and Lil B are gonna die in the flood, and then it's gonna be a movie about Hobbs instead.
Press X to doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do we need to say
there's
about
There's a lot movie? Of set pieces, and a lot of, yes. They're very good, and... my favorite one might be the bomb rolling toward the Vatican. I think that one's very good.
Oh, so good.
But I love how all of the set pieces are kind of, like, cool references to other set pieces in other movies.
Uh-huh.
I liked the two helicopters attached to Tom's car.
Oh my god. So to me, that was a callback to The Fate of the Furious, where, you know, the whole crew has surrounded Dom in his charger, and they're like, it's got to be 3,000 horsepower. No, 6,000. Try 10,000. And then, you know, they all attach wires to him, and he, like, pulls them away anyway.
Yes, yes, yes.
And to me, that was a callback to that. But also, like, when I was watching that, I was like, no. Like
really, no... that's what made you say no? Everything else has been fine until this point.
Shut up. I was just watching it, and I was like, congrats, you've made something so implausible that even I feel a need to ask you to pause.
I had a completely opposite thought during that scene. When he was, like, pulling around the helicopters at the end of these cables, like, the way that, like, pulled the car kind of, like, clicked in my brain in a way that it hadn't before in like, the previous movies, because I've now dragged something heavy off a cable from the back of my car, and I'm like, I now legitimately feel like I understand these movies better than the average person. I was thinking about how bad it smelled when I was doing the race, and when he's, like, got these, like, helicopter, like, scraping on the pavement, I'm like, yeah, it sucks over there right now.
You know what? They should add a drag a helicopter around event too.
I think it's a great idea.
The demolition derby.
There's also, I feel like there was some good one-liners, and I feel like one-liners are kind of, like, when I think of, like, good one-liners in the history of the series, I think up there would be, you made one mistake. You never took my car. It was a big mistake.
Do we think Vin Diesel wrote that line himself?
I hope so.
I mean, you know, I will say, I think this movie continues to confirm thesis on this podcast that Vin Diesel is the world's biggest Fast and Furious fan.
I agree. Did you watch that clip I sent you?
I did, yes. I did, yes.
I wish we could just play it on the show. I'm probably going to cut this out because, like, people don't know what clip I'm talking about, but it's so fucking good.
You should link the clip in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll link that's a good idea. I'll link the clip in the show notes. It's like a clip from before the premiere, and Vin Diesel is just on probably ecstasy. Or like, he's so happy, and he's, like, so manic on drugs, and this poor interviewer woman is trying so hard to ask him questions about the movie, and it makes it so obvious how fake Dom's voice is. I was like, oh yeah, this is what Vin Diesel's real voice sounds like, and it's just chef's kiss good. But wait, what was I actually gonna say? Oh, about him being the movie's biggest fan.
Yeah.
I think, okay, what is the next movie gonna be called?
Well, this was Fast X, so I'm gonna go ahead and guess, like, Furious XI.
But they're all so different. Like, the format is so different.
No, we've had a Fast... We've had, like, a Fast N before.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But this is a Roman numeral, so it's different. I think they should call the next one Dominic's 11.
or just drop all pretense and call it Vin Diesel's power fantasy.
11.
11.
I was like, they probably can't do the Ocean's 11 joke. Like, does the same studio own that? And my husband was like, but, like, the guy in Ocean's 11 wasn't named Ocean. I'm like, he was. That's the... That's the point of the movie.
Or, like, it'll be something like, Fast and Furious, the finale, or something like that. Like, something completely
off the wall. Do we know there's only going to be one more movie?
So I think what they have said in all public media is the next one is the last one.
Okay.
I would bet... Well, we have to get at least one more Hobbs and Shaw, obviously.
Right. I'm still waiting for them to contact me to write it.
Yeah, I guess we need to get Justin Lin on the podcast as well to help.
I've tried so hard. I was like on his IMDb page looking for like his agent's email.
Justin Lin, if you're listening, give us a shout out. We can help you write the best Hobbs and Shaw movie of all time. Yeah, I don't know. I bet they find an excuse to crank out more.
The last interview that I just watched about it was... Well, actually, what? I think it was this clip that I'm talking about. And they asked him, like, is this really the last one? And he was like, it's the finale, but you can't do it in one movie. And I'm like, he never said that you could do it in two movies either.
You know what I kind of want, actually, is a whole movie of just Dom and Letty vibing.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Yeah. So my observation, right, is they've done trilogies. This one is technically a quadrilogy, but if you allow this movie and the next one to be one movie. Right? Yeah. And so there is a question of, do they decide they're going to do another trilogy? And I think they might, right? Like, I mean, not to be a capitalist about it, but these movies are printing money for them. Yeah. And that is a reason that movie franchises do not go away, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know what I just realized we haven't even mentioned about Fast X? Cypher.
Yes, yeah. What about Cypher?
She's gonna be a friend now. We're just converting everybody into our friend. Well, actually, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the scene with the nobody dude that sucks.
Yeah.
When he was like, it's like a cult with cars. I thought that scene was so funny, but he was like complaining like, oh, like they corrupt every law enforcement person, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, is this like, maybe this is the solution to all of our societal problems. We just need to let Dom and his family like turn all cops into not-cops.
Yeah, perfect. Well, but also Gal Gadot's back.
Oh, yeah.
We saw her. We haven't seen her for a while. I also like, by the way, that Gal Gadot stole another nuclear sub as if it's nothing.
Yeah.
With like that, like, we just do this now, we just steal nuclear subs.
Well, yeah, because they have to reference the other movies, so...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think there were just so many, like, good little moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Letty and Cypher in the jail was so good, like...
You know who we haven't talked about at all?
Who?
Brie Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get Brie Larson as a female nobody.
And she's so good.
Which, like, you know, for the real heads out there, she's nothing like Miss Nowhere from...
Miss Nowhere, who we love.
Who we love from the cartoon.
I was, like, waiting for them to reference the cartoon in some way. I thought that would have been really interesting.
I so badly wish we got just, like, even the slightest...
Yeah, cartoon. Even just, like, an offhanded comment about it would have been so fun.
Yeah. And she's great in this movie.
She's excellent.
Yeah.
My notes are full of just like little like notes about lines that made me laugh. Like, I laughed a lot when Roman was like, it's a bomb. Well, what happens if it goes off? Roman is not my favorite character in this franchise historically, and Roman was very good in this movie.
I do like when they're in London and they're like, all our bank accounts got hacked, and he's like, lol, I have thousands and thousands of dollars strapped to my body at all times.
But you gotta get receipts from the vending machine and you can't have any.
Which I actually think is really in character for him.
Yeah, I think it's... I was really emotionally affected by, like, Roman and Tej kind of having that, like, no, I'm gonna break through this kind of shtick that we do and, like, tell you how much I, like, respect, like, the way you care about stuff and, like, working hard. I'm like, I just want badass mass dudes to, like, see Roman and Tej and be like, oh, it's cool to, like, tell your friends you love them. I think that would be the best outcome ever.
Yeah. I think we do just get some of the best, like, crew moments in this movie. Like, there's the moment where Ramsay is like, oh yeah, I know stuff now.
Which is so good, because of course she does. Of course she's so smart. Of course she would go learn everything about cars.
Yeah. I do, and I like that we go in two movies from her not knowing how to drive to knowing everything about cars.
I'm just glad we still have Ramsay, because it wasn't clear to me that she was going to be around forever when we got her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think after the second movie with Ramsay in it, I was like, okay, she's in the crew forever now.
We're keeping her now.
Yeah. I kind of hope if we get more movies, I kind of hope that we get Cypher to stick around as well.
I think so. Because it wasn't just once that Cypher came to help them, it was twice.
Yeah.
I love Fast and Furious. It's so funny how unironically I love Fast and Furious.
I converted you.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so one of my girlfriends has never seen any Fast and Furious movie, and I watched Tokyo Drift with her, and she was like, that was much better than I was expecting it to be. And I was like, okay, so we probably shouldn't watch the first one because, again, they unironically have an event called Race Wars.
very 2001.
Filmed before 9/11 is the important thing to know is they finished filming before 9/11. So I will say, and I know this is a big, bold statement, this is my favorite Fast and Furious movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had to do... Actually, this is a good tie into the thing I wanted to promo.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
There's a anthology coming out. It's called Too Trans, Too Furious. I'll put a link into the site about it in the show notes. But it's an anthology of articles written about Fast and Furious by all trans authors. And I'm really excited about it. It hasn't come out yet. It's in pre-order. But I have an article in it about Demolition Derby. And I, like, rewatched Too Fast, Too Furious to, like, do a compare and contrast to, like, Roman's Demolition Derby and mine. But they asked all of the contributors, like, which was their favorite Fast movie. Uh-huh. And then, like, put out the statistics on, like, who picked what. Which I think is really interesting.
Uh-huh.
But I had to answer what was my favorite Fast movie and, like, why. And so I really thought about it. And I said Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay, so wait. But I have to ask you a serious question. What is your favorite mainline Fast and Furious movie?
Well, here's the... Listen to my answer about why it's Hobbs and Shaw before you ask that question. Which is that, like... My memory's kind of bad. I, like, have trouble with, like, I have to go back and watch movies to be like, what happened in them? And so, like, when I think about Fast and Furious and, like, things I like about the franchise, I don't really think about, like, oh, you know, the fate of the Furious or whatever. I'm like, I don't know. Uh-huh. In one of the movies, there was that set piece when they did blah. Uh-huh. And, like, that's kind of how I think about it. Like, it's almost like they're just a big blob of, like, cool things that are in a bunch of different movies that I can pick out. But, like, I don't really think of them that strongly as, like, separate movies that have their own identity, even though I know they, like, most of them do. But, like, Hobbs and Shaw to me is like that. Like, when I think about, like, what's my favorite movie, that's the one my brain goes to, because I feel like it's got such an identity that I think about it as, like, a whole piece of work rather than, like, a bunch of scenes.
Okay, valid.
That said, it's probably, I would say, like, my favorite set pieces are probably in, like, 5, That's the one with the safe, right?
Yes.
So yeah. That's the best. Yeah. That's the best shit. Like.
Okay. Yeah. So prior to this movie, I think 7 was in my top spot. It was either 7 or 3. Tokyo Drift.
Which is the one where they drive between the two buildings.
That's 7.
Air. Okay, that's my other favorite too then.
Yeah. Now it's this one. This one beats every other Fast and Furious movie hands down for me because of the villain.
Yeah, I really, really liked it.
Okay. You did your shout out.
Yes.
So I'm gonna do mine. If you are listening to this podcast and you are Katie the barista, hi, I always had a massive crush on you. You can find me on Twitter at Penelope_zone or email me at Penelope@hey.com and we should talk. Yeah.
I hope this podcast finds you love.
Why not? Fuck it. Thank you so much for listening to Stationary and Sassy, a Fast and Furious Trans Rights podcast. From me, Fable.
And me, Jamie.
Until next time, we'll be living our lives a quarter mile at a time.